Serious? I don't believe people think that's the case because that wasn't a question.
We're completely off the immigration.
I thought we were talking about immigration.
I came back to it. I just want to make sure.
If I could have you sit down, Governor Romney, thank you.
So how did it play to undecided voters? An instant poll conducted for CNN ORC International shows that 46% say President Obama won. 39% say Romney won. Here's NBC's Chuck Todd.
Both bases feel engaged by their guy. This means we're headed for a grinded out 22 days.
This is NBC News Radio. A magnitude 4.0 earthquake rocked New England Tuesday night, hitting about 7:14 p.m. No one was hurt. And another event is rocking a New England town. NBC's Katie Turr reports on the scandal that's centered on allegations of prostitution and Zumba dancing.
A modern-day scarlet letter story set in this picturesque town of 10,000. In Kennebunk, Maine, scandal is afoot.
It's not a big enough community where you can ignore something like this.
At its center, the contents of a list, the names of more than 100 local men who allegedly paid to have sex with Alexis Wright, the local Zumba dance teacher. Katie Turr, NBC News, Kennebunk, Maine.
And Beyonce has been tapped to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl. The NFL confirmed the news after she posted a photo of herself sporting eye black with the date February 3rd, 2013, the date of the game. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, were you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes, what's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11/10/12. Staples. That was easy.
Most of us will shop more ahead of the holidays this year than the past few, but will not quite shop till we drop. That according to a closely watched retail forecast out this morning.
The good news for retailers this year is that it does seem consumers have the desire and ability to spend on holiday merchandise this year. But like we've seen in past years, we are dealing with a much smarter shopper.
Kathy Grannis with the National Retail Federation, whose big consumer spending survey finds each average shopper will spend a half buck shy of $750 on gifts, decor, cards, and more. Total $586 billion, up more than 4% from last year. A lot of retail spending hinges on consumer confidence, and a lot of our confidence hinges on the housing market. This morning we get a gauge of housing from the Census Bureau. New home construction expected to be up again in September from August. Rising are most of the big stock markets around the world today. S&P futures rising just 1 point. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
The Home Depot has a new lower price on Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation. Now just $11.87 a roll. It's softer and a lot easier to handle. And the new lower price? Well, that's a lot easier on your wallet. For a better insulation job, start with better insulation. Get your hands on Owens Corning EcoTouch, now only $11.87 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At Geico, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on...
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. And that question is, are you ready for change? And if you are, are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good Wednesday morning, 6 minutes after 6 a.m. here on this Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. Bless you, boys, indeed. Yes, bless all the boys. Let me tell you that last night obviously changes the game in dramatic ways. There's no question. I'm talking about the debate. There's no question that President Obama delivered in ways that we knew were possible. I'll point out to the cynics in the audience this early morning that the president didn't use a teleprompter, because I know you all love to use that line. He was thinking on his feet. We're going to really walk through the debate meticulously. You are welcome to give us your comments. Although I have a funny feeling, and I could be wrong, that we're not going to get nearly as many calls today as we did 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, when the first debate concluded and many of you were just in dismay and disarray over those results. Anyway, great night last night for democracy, and we're going to get to that. We're going to be open lines for the first 2 hours of the show. I want to make sure that those of you that want to call have some access. We do have other guests joining us. We will be talking to some of them about the debate last night. So if you would like to join us at any point throughout the program, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. All right, let's take a look at what we've got coming up today. As I said, the first 2 hours from now till 8 o'clock, we are open lines, leaving the topic up to you, the debate or something else. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor with the Detroit Free Press, joins us at 8 o'clock today, as he does every single Wednesday morning. Planned Parenthood's Lori Lamorand is with us. It's Let's Talk Month. Yeah, the birds and the bees, that talk. Well, we're going to not necessarily have that talk, but we will be talking to Lori about talking to your kids. Professor Francis Shore will join us. He is in charge of and coordinating a labor conference that starts today at Wayne State University. Then Tiffany Koger will join us. Tiffany is with UAW Local 600. She's the chairperson there, and she is... a client services government representation for Allied Health Plan. I'm here to talk today about Prop 2. And then last but not least, Dr. Syed Taj will join us at 9:50. So we can continue to focus on his interesting campaign, made more interesting by the guy who thinks he's Santa Claus. So Carrie Bentivoglio, if you're listening, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Action. Action is our first word today. Action can be physical. It can be mental. It can be emotional. Action is not just the motion of doing something, although that is an action. You can literally, of course, my good Italian blood always has me talking with my hands. That's an action. But the kind of action I'm talking about today, we're going to ramp it up a little bit to maybe throw in some hot sauce or cayenne, because the kind of action we're talking about today makes a difference. You'll know it when you see it. And man, oh man, oh man, will you enjoy what it is you get to see. But with that said, you know, like lots of things, our first word of the day was words. The door swings both ways, so action can also be a negative thing. Breaking and entering, getting behind a wheel of a car drunk, you name it, it's all action. And so you need to be careful how you utilize your action, because at the end of the day, the very action that you use to do one thing could be detrimental to something totally unintended for. So be careful. Use the word action in its measured way. And remember, it is about keeping on moving on. How you like that? All right, today's first word is action.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. The catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0 swinging a fly ball. Left field is deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings. And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And welcome back. We say good morning to Big Bad Anthony. And Anthony, I don't know if you ended up staying up and watching the game last night. I have a feeling you did. But nonetheless, the Tigers win 2-1. And although the score was very close, the pitching was good on both sides, the Tigers end up victorious.
Yeah, I almost got sick when Verlander gave that home run in the ninth.
I'm sorry, I was drinking some coffee. Yes, but all is well. All is well.
Yeah, and when they brought Coke into the game, you couldn't help but get that feeling in your throat. But he did all right. You know, he went out there, he got the first out, bring it two. And then he let Teixeira get on, and then Cano get on, who was 0 for 29 up to that point.
Hmm.
And then, you know, you had Raul Albanis come up to the plate, and you couldn't help but get all sweaty, because you obviously seen what he did against us in Game 1 and then what he did against Baltimore in Game 5. But all in all, Coke came through, struck him out, and we're up 3-0 now.
Well, you know, maybe we should get a little, we'll have some shirts made that says, get a Coke and a smile, and put a picture of Phil Coke there. But let me make the point, Anthony, that Jose Valverde normally would have come in that situation and pitched, correct?
Yep, that's his time.
All right. And that didn't happen. In fact, there was no effort to, I don't believe they even warmed him up.
No, Leland came out yesterday and said that he would not be used in the ninth for that game, like before the game even started.
Okay, well, then he certainly was true to his word. And it's not like we don't know what we're getting with Phil Coke. As a starter, he was not very good. I believe that was all of last year, right?
I believe they moved him to the bullpen towards the end.
Okay. But, you know, interestingly, they've used him in so many different capacities. And, oh, Anthony, why not as a closer?
Yeah, I mean, last night, people are going to make the case for him now, because obviously he handled the job last night. And I'm not against it, but I still think we need to go out and get another guy to replace him. You know, if he's going to be gone, then we need a middle relief guy to replace him.
Yeah, and tough, you know what, for Jose Valverde, who is at the end of his contract. I would suggest fairly simply that they're not going to try to resign him. I mean, they might offer him a, you know, just a normal, hey, here you go kind of contract, so he can't say the Tigers didn't try to sign him. Because that's always a danger with your hometown fans, right? Well, he didn't even attempt to trade him, and well, you know, so, you know, maybe it's all lip service, but I don't believe he'll be back next year.
No,
he does have super agent to the Stars, but I don't think it's going to matter.
I'm sure he'll demand a lot of money, too, just because he has only blown 8 saves in the 3 years he's been here. And I still think he's considered one of the better ones, even though in the last 2 times he's went out there, we all remember what happened.
Yeah, and I get the impression, and I could be 100% wrong, but I get the impression that Jose Valverde is really kind of not connected to reality sometimes. And what I mean by that is he doesn't seem to be, and maybe that's a good thing, he doesn't seem to be affected by the chaos around him. Of course, we're not alone with him, so there's no way to really know that.
Yeah, he seems like he's a picture of emotion when I think he gets into his own head when he does bad. I mean, I don't know because obviously we don't know him, we don't talk to him, but it seems like it's something more than it's just mechanical, it's more mental.
Yep, no question about it. Well, the Tigers play again tonight at 8:07 p.m. Max Scherzer takes the mound against CC Sabathia. Again, it should be, everything suggests this will be a pretty serious pitcher's duel, Anthony.
Yeah, two of the best in the league this year.
Yep. Absolutely. So we'll wait and see what happens. But congratulations to the Detroit Tigers of the city of Detroit. One game away from sweeping the Yankees. The likelihood of that happening, I don't even know what the odds would be. They wouldn't be great. So stay tuned. Remember, they only needed one more game when they went into Oakland, and they needed all of them before they were able to win that game. No seeming injuries in the Lions game yesterday that I could tell, Anthony.
Nope.
And the NHL is talking to the owners again, and we may actually have an announcement sometime today about a tentative agreement being reached.
Yep, they're doing a 50-50 split. I mean, I obviously don't know all the details, but yeah, they said that's basically going to be the main deal, and there's going to be a few things changed. You know, minor things, but yeah, that's the main deal. It sounds like it's going to go through, but, you know, who knows?
Yep, you're right. Who knows? So we'll wait and see what happens. It would be nice if they got this season underway. They've still got time to salvage most of the season, most of it. All right, that does it for us for sports for today. Again, if you'd like to join us to talk about the debate, I'm taking calls starting now. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift, and you are listening to 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
So far, you got a quiet commute just following some road construction. Southfield Freeway northbound between Allen Road and Van Bourne. Right lane is closed until Thursday at 9 p.m. Southfield Freeway northbound to 94. The ramps to 94 eastbound and westbound are closed until Thursday at 9. And 12 Mile Road east and west at Losser. Road construction has reduced down to one lane in each direction. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community, forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, 22 minutes after the hour. Sorry, just deep in thought, deep in reading, actually, what I was doing. Reaction all over the place, we're going to go back to the same sources. I think it's fair that we did in the first debate. The first debate, CNN and CBS both had, instant polls, and they, both called Romney the winner. I didn't disagree with that, and I'm glad that I did what I did the last time. I didn't try to defend the actions of the president. I didn't, it was what it was. It was a bad performance. He didn't perform well. He was okay on content, but we don't need to relive that. Let's fast forward now to last night. Last night, what we got out of both candidates was, I think, very telling. Again, I'll give you the number, 888-552-3595. Would love to get your thoughts. Now, folks, you guys called ad nauseum 2 weeks ago, Thursday, after that first debate. And I even made kind of a, well, not a bet with Joe, but I said, now watch, we're going to build in all this time and we won't end up getting calls. Would love to hear what you thought about the debate. What did you think about the president? What did you think about Mitt Romney? What did you think? Who do you think won? What was your favorite moment of the evening, if you will? I don't know yet what the participation number is. We do know that last time the debate snagged an audience of some 50 to 70 million people, and I believe that 70 million people mark actually came online and through smartphones. But ultimately, it was a good day for the president. It was certainly a good day for Democrats, and they're all very excited, as they should be. Let's listen to some of the audio from last night, and if we could, Kevin, let's go to cut six, please.
President Bush and I are different people, and these are different times, and that's why my 5-point plan is so different than what he would have done.
Yep. There are some things where Governor Romney is different from George Bush. George Bush didn't propose turning Medicare into a voucher. George Bush embraced comprehensive immigration reform. He didn't call for self-deportation. George Bush never suggested that we eliminate funding for Planned Parenthood. So there are differences between Governor Romney and George Bush, but they're not on economic policy. In some ways, he's gone to a more extreme place when it comes to social policy.
And I think that there's some legitimacy to that. Part of the problem is say anything Mitt. I mean, he says whatever needs to be said, although last night he probably wished he would have kept his mouth shut on more than one occasion. Of course, radio doesn't dictate the level of intensity and what they're looking like and the faces they're making, although neither one of them got too carried away in the making faces department. It was still there. I mean, you know, that was still there. All right, a little more audio. Again, 888-552-3595. Where does Mitt Romney stand on taxes? Well, in his own words, on cut number four, you'll see it for yourself.
Now, Governor Romney has a different philosophy. He was on 60 Minutes just 2 weeks ago. And he was asked, is it fair for somebody like you making $20 million a year to pay a lower tax rate than a nurse or a bus driver, somebody making $50,000 a year? And he said, yes, I think that's fair. Not only that, he said, I think that's what grows the economy. Well, I fundamentally disagree with that. I think what grows the economy is when you get that tax credit that we put in place for your kids going to college. I think that grows the economy. I think what grows the economy is when we make sure small businesses are getting a tax credit for hiring veterans who fought for our country. That grows our economy. So we just have a different theory. And when Governor Romney stands here after a year of campaigning, when during a Republican primary he stood on stage and said, I'm going to give tax cuts. He didn't say tax rate cuts. He said tax cuts to everybody, including the top 1%. You should believe him because that's been his history. And that's exactly the kind of top-down economics that is not going to work if we want a strong middle class and an economy that's thriving for everybody.
What a terrifically interesting question that was. And if you'll recall the question, if you watched it, one of the audience members actually asked President Bush, you know, what he, how he compared himself or what was different about him than George W. Bush. It was an interesting answer. And then, of course, we just heard the president responding to Willard's comments. Yeah, you're right. You know, Willard, it is a different administration, isn't it? It is a different set of rules. All of that's true, but there are certain foundational tenets of a presidential debate where you would expect there to be a lot of infiltration under your head, that especially the last week or the last few days leading up to the debate. I don't know about any of you. Joe, did you get the impression that Romney kind of walked in there going, you know what, after 2 weeks ago, I got this in the bag. I just need to kind of continue that posturing and I'll be fine. Did you get that impression last night?
Yes, indeed. And to go Shakespearean, man's greatest falling or failing is in his sense of security.
Well, that is, of course, true. And, you know, we're going to get to the Libya comments a little later on in the show. I don't want to use all the good stuff up bright and early, but not that we can't repeat some of it. But, yeah, there was, you know, you had, Joe, before the show, talked to me about the deflated look on Willard's face when Candy Crowley reminded him that the president did mention terror in the Rose Garden announcement after the Benghazi Libya attacks. And, you know, I guess, you know, besides that being such a strong exchange, and it's not just because the president won it pretty handily, it's important, Joe, that we have these discussions, which we never seem to have publicly, about war. So it was good in that regard.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was good that they had the discussion and they actually got, like, the real talk points out on the Libya issue. I mean, it wasn't just rhetoric from both sides. They actually addressed the issue and spoke to the people on the issue. It's just unfortunate that, you know, like we said on facial expressions, that, you know, Willard thought that he had it. He had that killer look in his eye. And, I mean, for me personally, it was just a Zen moment to watch that look deflate from his face.
Yeah, and it would be for me as well. And it was when I watched the debate this morning, very early this morning, I was, one of the remarkable differences between this debate and the one 2 weeks ago, this one, not only did the president look or seem to be engaged and look engaged, he seemed to be empowered. The whole time neighbors were stalking by, stalking, we're traveling hither and yon, and you know, people were just fascinated, by the exchange. Joe, one quick question before we have to get to the break here. I don't know that this is a game changer, and the last one I didn't think was a game changer either, but how important do you think the next one is?
The next one's going to be a real big deal because it's on foreign policy, but my personal take is that the Romney campaign won't do so well. All of his advisors are from the Bush era, so getting out from under that boulder that's falling isn't going to be easy. So.
Yeah, you're right. Let's get to the break. Jay and Melvin, stay where you're at. We're going to come to you as soon as we take this quick bottom of the hour break. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
So far, you got a quiet commute just following some road construction. Southfield Freeway northbound between Allen Road and Van Bourne. Right lane is closed until Thursday at 9 p.m. Southfield Freeway northbound to 94. The ramps to 94 eastbound and westbound are closed until Thursday at 9. And 12 Mile Road east and west at Losser. Road construction as you reduce down.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
I'm all for Proposal 2 because I feel like collective bargaining is very important to the freedoms of the people of Michigan. I've been in the union now 35 years, and it's helped protect our jobs. With Proposition 2, it helps maintain that, and the more union members there are in other companies, the better the contracts are going to be. I am all for Proposal 2. My name is James R. Message. I work at Kroger's in Warren, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect workers. Family. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
As we know, the government can't do anything right. We know this not only because a menagerie of right-wing media yakkers and anti-government politicians ceaselessly bleat this message at us, but also because it's often echoed by such basso profundo media voices as the New York Times. For example, the Times recently went after the U.S. Postal Service, a favorite target of political forces eager to privatize our nation's mail agency. Distress deepening postal service defaults, screeched the headline, with the article's opening sentence assailing the hapless agency for sinking deeper into debt, having missed for the second time this year a deadline to pay $5.6 billion for its future retiree health benefits. This reinforced the right-wing claims of gross bureaucratic inefficiencies, suggesting that no private corporation could stay in business if it was so slipshod. But wait, while the Times did the who, what, when, and where part of this story, it conveniently evaded the crucial question of why. The unmentioned truth is that in 2006, the forces of privatization got Congress to shackle our post office to an absurd requirement that it must, by 2015, set aside funds to cover the health benefits of all workers who will retire in the next 75 years. Hello? That includes workers who are not yet born. No corporation could or would shoulder such a crushing burden. Yet our corporatized Congress has piled this multi-billion dollar set-aside on the back of this public service, demanding that the huge sum be paid out of current postal revenues. This is Jim Hightower saying, this Enron accounting in reverse forces the Postal Service's books to look bad when they're not. It's a deliberate effort to bankrupt an invaluable public asset so it can be cannibalized by privateers. That's the big news that the Times missed.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310 WDTW.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 6 o'clock. Good Wednesday morning to you. Well, the debate last night between President Obama and candidate Mitt Romney played out better, as some would thought, than it could, but not as good as others thought it might. But let's get some reaction from you, our listeners. Let's welcome Jay and Melvindale to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this early morning. Jay, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony.
Morning.
I just want to make a quick comment, and then I'll just get off the phone and listen to the reply. Between watching the two men, I'm a pretty good judge of body posturing, facial expressions, and so on and so forth, because I was in sales for the majority of my life. And I know what a snob is.
Huh.
And Mitt Romney had that look on his face like, what in the heck am I doing here in this room with all these low-income, middle-income, normal people? I'm a multi-billionaire. You know, they should just listen to what I tell them, and then that's it. So, and that was my take on it. So,
all right, well,
I think it showed his true side.
Yeah, I don't. And thanks for the call, Jay. I don't disagree with that at all. And appreciate your comments. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Sherry and welcome her to First Shift. Sherry, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Your thoughts on the debate last night?
Oh, well, obviously he lost a women's vote. If we took a look at all the women in that audience and just the scowls on their face, and Romney's message, he basically is dumping women. I mean, it's obvious in his platform, but you could see it in the looks of the women last night. And you know what? I'm really glad how our president performed last night. I know he's going to take us right into the election. And I'm running for state representative, District 32, and we're in a
city,
but this is really going to give us a good boost. So I'm really happy.
Well, you know, I'm glad that the president pointed out that doing things like not supporting the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act and wanting to defund Planned Parenthood, and I could go on. You know, I think you're right. But Sherry, what do you make of the recent polling that shows that women have somehow split 50-50 between the two candidates? I find that a little hard to believe, but that's what the polling suggests.
Well, Democrats are obviously strong women, and I'm going to look at it this way, and I'm going to really irritate a few listeners. Republican women, how do we call that? Not insubordinate, but complacent.
Okay.
I just don't think that they're a strong demographic. You know, I think that they've had, you know, the thumb down on them for so long, and that's the way they like it.
Well, you know, Sherry, there may be some truth to that. You know, I remember this was years ago. This was the second Bush election. And I had a woman call the show that I was doing back then, and I asked her why she was voting for George W. Bush, and she said, because my husband told me to.
Right, and I'm hearing that a lot in my district as well, and I'm thinking, come on, we can rise above that. We don't have to have somebody telling us what we have to do.
Sherry, where is the 32nd district?
The 32nd district runs all the way from Kenoke straight down to New Baltimore, Chesterfield, and then across from Riley to Kimball. It is essentially the shape of the cross.
Oh, okay.
And I guess that tells me that God wants me to win.
There you go, Sherry. That's the way to look at it. Well, listen, go on the website or send us an email, and let's see if we can get you on the show to talk about your candidacy before Election Day.
I would love that. Thank you, Tony.
Well, thank you, Sherry. I appreciate the call so much. Sherry Smith, who's running for a state House seat in the 32nd House District. 888-552-3595. My friend Tom in Detroit is on the other end. Tom, your thoughts about last night's debate, and good morning to you.
And good morning to you and to your listening audience. You know what? President Obama did very, very good. I mean, you know, he was, as always, he's calm, he was collected, and, you know, he was, what is it, chock full of facts. He knew his stuff. Okay, now I know, but he was just there. I mean, where he was at first debate, I mean, you know, God only knows. But, I mean, he did what he had to do last night. And the thing that I, you know, not that it caught me by surprise, but I was looking for it to come up earlier, was the zinger, the 47%. And what they say, you save your best to last. And, I mean, you know, when he had the opportunity and he spoke last, zing, 47%. He hit him right between the eyes with it. And, you know, the your first caller, you know, he was talking about how Romney looked like, well, what am I doing in here with all of these low-income people? Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show that unless, you know, he's there with, you know, his folks has got the mega bucks, he doesn't know how to come across and relate to people. And also when they asked him about, you know, what the woman that was talking, she asked the question about, you know, the kids and tuitions and, you know, breaks and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He never answered that question. I mean, they say he dazzled them, supposedly. The quote goes, you dazzle them with brilliance and baffle them with BS.
Yes.
That's exactly what he did. He did not. He just tap danced all around that question, was not specific. And, I mean, he still wasn't specific. I got a five-point plan. Well, you know, what are you going to cut? You know, what deductions are you going to cut out?
He doesn't seem to want to tell us that.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not even sure if he knows. All he knows is that, you know, like, okay, this is my five-point plan. And yeah, and that kind of thing. But he was, I guess he didn't know the guy or didn't, you know, feel him last night in terms of the president who showed up last night.
Fair enough, Tom. I think that you he was out of his out of the president's league last night. President, as you know, Tom was well spoken. He was authoritative. He didn't have the teleprompter that everybody says he can't talk without one. He did perform admirably last night. We'll go back to the phones again. The number, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. If you'd prefer to send an email, tony@thetonyshow.org. And then on Twitter, @TonyTrupiano. Let's welcome my brother, Les, in Detroit. Les, is always a pleasure.
Good morning, fellow Patriots. Man, it was quite a night last night to see the president come out there swinging. And, you know, they kept saying in the last debate about the interruption. Now, this Mick Romney, I mean, he couldn't stop interrupting. You know, he was rude and inconsiderate to the host. She was trying to moderate Candy Crowley. She was doing an excellent job of trying to bring out talking points. This guy kept interrupting. He kept kind of trying to make his talking points, which was irrelevant because he was wrong every time he tried to interrupt her.
Well, you know, Les, there was one point where he said, now, wait a minute, I want to answer this. And she said, hold on. We got people here to ask questions. We need to get to the questions. I don't want to disappoint these people. They all came here with questions. You'll get your chance to address this later. She was very diplomatic about it.
That's right. This guy was a very rude, and he didn't really want to hear from the people. And, you know, after the debate, you know, President Obama stuck around and started chit-chat with the people. He took off. He couldn't wait to get out of there. He don't know what regular people do. He don't know what care what. You can tell by the tone of his conversation. He don't understand regular Americans.
I mean, this goes back, Les, this goes back to that quote-unquote apology he made in New York a few weeks back. Over, I don't remember exactly what it is. And, you know, when he ends up being wrong, you can see his body language changes, his posture shifts. People just don't like people that are insincere. And I think that's what you're saying. He's just a very unauthentic guy.
Even the comment about the president's statement when he came out the day after the tragedy, in Benghazi, you know, he telling the president what he said. If Candy Crowley didn't have the memory she had, he would have felt that the president didn't come out and tell them this was a terrorist attack. Anytime you attack anybody, really, it's terrorism. So as the president was on his game, and you know, and this is just me, Tony. I don't know if anybody else in the audience, but every time I hear this guy talking, I feel like I'm transported 200 years back in time.
I can assure you, Les, I can assure you it's not just you. Thank you for the call, my brother. I do appreciate it. It's not just him. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to watch somebody implode. It's uncomfortable to see somebody squirm. If anybody in the audience ever watches the television show, which is off air right now, called The Newsroom, the very end of the season, they want to host a debate between the major Republican candidates at the time. This was during the primary, so there would have been Bachman would have been there, and Rick Perry would have been there, and others. And the whole point of that episode was to change the debate, to keep the rules but change the way we deliver the information and literally force people into a position that really stands for something. Wouldn't that be refreshing? I mean, really, at some level, wouldn't that be refreshing? I think it would. Okay, a quick break here. And we're open lines till 8 o'clock. So I'm giving you an opportunity to ring us up on the debate last night. Any of the specific proposals? Happy to have that conversation. 888-552-3595. Let's take that break now. And we'll come back and wrap up this hour on the other side. This is First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
With Tony Trivia. My point is to Republican adults, when 14-year-old boys sound exactly like you do, maybe you should rethink the shit that's coming out of your mouth.
On 1310 WDTW.
No wonder 14-year-old boys can do your act. You act exactly like 14-year-old boys.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together. Until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle.
UnionCircle.com.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Triano.
It's not going to be like the last 4 years. The middle class has been crushed over the last 4 years, and jobs have been too scarce. I know what it takes to bring them back, and I'm going to do that and make sure when you graduate. When do you graduate? 2014. When you come out in 2014, I presume I'm going to be president. I'm going to make sure you get a job. Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, you bet.
Mr. President.
Yeah, he's going to make sure he gets a job. So I'm not sure if that's where you give Willard a call and say, hey, remember me? I told you 2014. You said, yeah, I'll make sure you have a job. Well, I'm ready. Maybe not a bad idea. I'm serious. Maybe it's not a bad idea. You know, it's about not about who you know, but what you know. Or, no, it is about who. Well, you understand what I mean. All right, whatever. Willard. Okay, well, one of the issues that did come up, I mentioned a little earlier, was the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act. In cut number five, you do begin to wonder, as Sherry Smith said a little bit later on in this hour, how can women even consider voting for Willard? This is what he had to say.
All the applicants seem to be men. And I went to my staff and I said, how come all the people for these jobs are all men? They said, well, these are the people that have the qualifications. And I said, well, gosh, can't we find some women that are also qualified? And so we took a concerted effort to go out and find women who had backgrounds that could be qualified to become members of our cabinet. I went to a number of women's groups and said, can you help us find folks? And they brought us whole binders full of women. I was proud of the fact that after I staffed my cabinet and my senior staff, that the University of New York in Albany did a survey of all 50 states and concluded that mine had more women in senior leadership positions than any other state in America.
Yeah, that binder full of women, by the way, there was a Democratic strategist watching the debate last night. As soon as Willard said that, he went out and bought both the .com and the .net. Binder full of women. .com and .net. We'll see what he ends up doing with those. I'm almost afraid to ask. should be very, very interesting, to say the least. 888-552-3595. By the way, we're open lines till to the end of the next hour. So we've got the rest of this hour, all of next hour. So I wouldn't wait to put this off till the end. If you want to talk to us now, while we don't have a ton of phone traffic, would be a good time to get in. All right, well, it wasn't just about where he stands on equal pay, but he also commented on equal job opportunities for women. Again, this is what Willard had to say. I'm sorry, cut number five. Oh, that's the one we played? Oh, all right, I'm sorry. Well, then I'll leave that alone. Let's go to cut number three and talk about the five-point plan.
Thank you very much. And let me tell you, you're absolutely right about part of that, which is I want to bring the rates down. I want to simplify the tax code, and I want to get middle-income taxpayers to have lower taxes. And the reason I want middle-income taxpayers to have lower taxes is because middle-income taxpayers have been buried over the past 4 years. You've seen, as middle-income people in this country, incomes go down $4,300 a family, even as gasoline prices have gone up $2,000. Health insurance premiums up $2,500. Food prices up. Utility prices up. The middle-income families in America have been crushed over the last 4 years, so I want to get some relief to middle-income families. That's part one. Now, how about deductions? Because I'm going to bring rates down across the board for everybody. But I'm going to limit deductions and exemptions and credits, particularly for people at the high end, because I am not going to have people at the high end pay less than they're paying now. The top 5% of taxpayers will continue to pay 60% of the income tax the nation collects. So that'll stay the same. Middle-income people are going to get a tax break. And so in terms of bringing down deductions, one way of doing that would be to say everybody gets, I'll pick a number, $25,000 of deductions and credits. And you can decide which ones to use. Your home mortgage interest deduction, charity, child tax credit, and so forth. You can use those as part of filling that bucket, if you will, of deductions. But your rate comes down, and the burden also comes down on you for one more reason. and that is every middle-income taxpayer no longer will pay any tax on interest, dividends, or capital gains. No tax on your savings. That makes life a lot easier. If you're getting interest from a bank, if you're getting a statement from a mutual fund, or any other kind of investments you have, you don't have to worry about filing taxes on that, because there'll be no taxes for anybody making $200,000 a year and less on your interest, dividends, and capital gains. Why am I lowering taxes on the middle class? Because under the last 4 years, they've been buried. And I want to help people in the middle class. And I will not, under any circumstances, reduce the share that's being paid by the highest income taxpayers. And I will not, under any circumstances, increase taxes on the middle class. The president's spending, the president's borrowing, will cause this nation to have to raise taxes on the American people, not just at the high end. A recent study has shown the people in the middle class will see $4,000 a year higher taxes as a result of the spending and borrowing of this administration. I will not let that happen. I'll get us on track to a balanced budget, and I'm going to reduce the tax burden on middle-income families. And what's that going to do? It's going to help those families, and it's going to create incentives to start growing jobs again in this country.
Thanks, Governor.
Well, and of course we know that's not true. He's basically talking about trickle-down, and it just doesn't work. As much as we might, I don't know if respect his point of view would be correct. How do I put this? We give him First Amendment rights. He's just fundamentally wrong on so many issues. It would take me the rest of the 3 hours that we have left plus to explain it, but that's okay. You're going to go check it out, and then you're going to let me know, right? The Affordable Care Act is working. There's no question. We've already closed the gap on 20 million Americans. We've already made let me put it this way. I think we have an opportunity here. As we really open up this discussion, and I think one of the things that happened last night, and I'm going to wait for the rest of the audio till the next hour, but I think one of the real opportunities that happened last night is a true gift. It's a gift to now have a discussion about leadership. One of them looked very presidential last night. The other one looked very much in disarray. Now, I'm not going to say it's the converse of what happened 2 weeks ago, because I don't think Mitt Romney looked presidential. I don't think he sounded presidential. I don't think he's ever looked or sounded presidential. He might have sounded authoritative, but you can lie and sound authoritative. So that's not the issue. It is at some point about sincerity and authenticity. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Barack Obama is, if nothing, very sincere and very authentic. Love him or not. And not everybody loves the president. I get that. I was listening to MSNBC on my satellite radio a couple weeks ago, and there's this woman on there screaming that Obama's a communist. He's a communist. But when asked to explain it, she didn't know how. She doesn't know what a communist is. All right, lots to get to in the next hour, so stay where you're at. You can give us a call now. We'll get you on after the break, 888-552-3595. NBC News coming up. We'll be back.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Still have an accident-free commute so far, but y'all reduced down to two lanes on 275 northbound between 94 and Ann Arbor Road. A long-term road construction project on M14 east and west between Beck Road and US 23. And more construction on the Southfield Freeway northbound between Allen Road and Van Bourne. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. A feistier President Obama and a combative Mitt Romney pounded one another in last night's town hall debate at Hofstra University. The two battled on jobs, taxes, the economy, and Libya. Romney charging that Obama misread the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi.
It took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
Obama using his closing argument to blast Romney for his 47% remarks while Romney claimed the country can't afford four more years of Obama. Good news for hearts. A government study says cholesterol levels have improved significantly over the past 20 years. Among the reasons, fewer trans fats and more cholesterol-lowering drugs. And the art world still in shock over yesterday's early morning heist at a Dutch museum. Police still canvassing the area, but no arrests have been made. This is NBC News Radio. Democrats are heartened by President Obama's performance at last night's debate. NBC's Chuck Todd.
He came out wanting to make sure he let people know he wants a second term. He was much more engaged, definitely seemed to study the Romney playbook, took Romney a lot more, or appeared to take Romney as a more serious threat there.
Most instant polls say advantage Obama, but two surveys say Romney won on economic issues. Home Sweet Home continues to rebound. The housing market index shows builder confidence in the market has hit a six-year high, combined with rising prices and rock-bottom interest rates. Wall Street is bullish. The Dow's coming off a 128-point gain. And it may not count in the real polls, but President Obama can take solace that a majority of kids prefer him to Mitt Romney. The president winning the Scholastic student vote, 51-45%. That survey has only missed twice. Truman's win in 1948, Kennedy in 60. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Merriman, I am a millionaire.
Oh, you should cheer up, Mr. Fernwell.
I'm a millionaire because my paycheck had three extra zeros.
Sorry, sir. I had a temporary doing payroll.
Not Bob from AccountTemps?
No, sir. I tried some new agency.
Call AccountTemps. They know what we need and will match us with a skilled professional.
I'll call Bob from AccountTemps, sir, right after I cash my paycheck.
Why, you?
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
The Home Depot has a new lower price on Owens Corning EcoTouch R30 15-inch insulation. Now just $11.87 a roll. It's softer and a lot easier to handle. And the new lower price? Well, that's a lot easier on your wallet. For a better insulation job, start with better insulation. Get your hands on Owens Corning EcoTouch, now only $11.87 a roll. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
No matter which way you may lean politically, the experts think when it comes to holiday shopping, you're going to be conservative. National Retail Federation is forecasting a spending increase of just over 4% for the upcoming holiday season versus last year to total $586 billion. That means each of us is expected to spend almost $750 this holiday season. It signals steady, though undramatic, improvement from previous years, at least from the retailers' point of view. This morning we get a gauge of housing from the Census Bureau. New home construction is expected to be up again in September from August, reflecting rising home builder sentiment and rising home prices. Stock markets around the world have been mostly higher today, although gains have been small. Our stock futures are just north of flat right now. S&P futures gaining almost 2 points. NASDAQ futures up a fraction of a point. Dow futures right now tacking on 12. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Nelvin, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Nelvin, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11-10-12.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trivino.
And welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. We are open lines for the entire hour as we investigate, look at, explore, talk about last night's presidential debate between President Barack Obama and former governor of Massachusetts, Mitt Romney, whatever you want to call him. Some would say loser would be the appropriate word this morning. The instant poll showed the Obama was the clear winner by some 20 or 30 percentage points. I say that's pretty decisive. An entirely different debate this time around. It wasn't just because the format was different. The president was different. He was the man we now know and love. And for those of you that say you can't talk without a teleprompter, no teleprompter last night, folks. That was all Barack all the time. We are going to go back to the phones, and let's welcome my brother Tom from the UFCW. Tom, a pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Your thoughts on the debate, Tom?
The comment I wanted to make is I heard a lot of tax breaks for the middle class because that's what middle class people want to hear and will rally behind. But when I heard the description of how it's going to happen, it ends up another tax cut for the rich. How many middle class people that you know that are making any appreciable amount of money on interest, dividends, and capital gains?
Now,
I don't know very many. But I know a lot of wealthy people who make a ton of money that way. Now, the other comment I want to make is, if lying was an Olympic event, Mitt Romney's the gold medal winner.
Tom, thank you for your call. Last night was not a shining moment for the candidate Willard Mitt Romney. If you go fact check him, and there's fact checkers everywhere. The big loser on the night with regard to fact-checking is also Willard Romney. So take that for what it's worth, but it was bad. Some say the turning point in the entire debate happened with the exchange on Libya. As we listen to our first cut, cut number one, this is the exchange, and this is how the pundits are saying it turned maybe not just the debate around, but this election on its ear. This is what they had to say.
The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden and I told the American people and the world that we were going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror, and I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime. And then a few days later, I was there greeting the caskets coming into Andrews Air Force Base and grieving with the families. And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
Governor, if you want to reply quickly, please.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something, which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror. It did as well take 2 weeks or so for the whole idea of there being a riot out there about this tape to come out. You're correct about that.
The administration indicated that this was a reaction to a video and was a spontaneous reaction. It took them a long time to say this was a terrorist act by a terrorist group. And to suggest, am I incorrect in that regard? On Sunday, ambassador of the United Nations, went on the Sunday television shows and spoke about how was a spontaneous reaction.
I'm happy to have a longer conversation about foreign policy.
Absolutely, but I want to move you on. And
okay,
also, people can
to
go
too.
To the transcripts.
I just want to make sure that all these wonderful folks are going to have a chance to get some of their questions answered.
Well, again, maybe an embarrassing moment. Some political pundits, both sides of the aisle, are saying that may be the 96 seconds that cost Willard Romney the presidency. Am I willing to concede that? Well, maybe, maybe not, because the public and certainly the media has plenty of reasons to spin it differently. It's one of those things where, man, you got to be sure you know what you're talking about. Now, the president said that an act of terror upon America will not be tolerated. If you want to get technical, because I know some of you will, that's not actually saying it was an act of terror, right? Or is it? Is the question. And by recognize it that we will not tolerate an act of terror is basically putting that label on it. Whether it was premeditated or not, and we now know that it was, doesn't change the facts. So what part of that don't you folks get? I'm serious. What part do you not get? But it'll be interesting. We are open lines for the entire hour, so if you'd like to call and ring up on the debate, let us know your thoughts, who won, who lost, why they won, why they lost. There's still one more debate coming up next week. Do the debates matter? Whatever is on your mind, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org and on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. Jamar writes, isn't it interesting that in the statement Romney is advocating for affirmative action, I thought he was against that. Well, he was against affirmative action before he was for it. Again, Willard just has some real credibility issues, and it continues to get uglier and uglier. Ultimately, he has to deal with it, and certainly people like you and I are going to hold him accountable for his words. No question that's true. All right, a little more. Well, actually, we'll wait till after the break to do any more audio. But, again, looking back on it, of course, Democrats are pretty gleeful this morning. President chimed in and did it very proactively, did it more importantly, in a proactive way that gives us a real shot at feeling better about not only the debate performance, but the campaign moving forward, since we were all very, and we were concerned about what happened at the last presidential debate, the vice presidential debate, Joe Biden more than held his own. President more than held his own last night. So now we get to see that dynamic at work. And the next debate, Joe told me, is on foreign policy. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, since foreign policy is not Mitt Romney's strong point. In fact, you know, I'm kind of curious, as we take a look at Willard, and this whole idea, his foreign policy is not his forte. How bad can that foreign policy debate be? It could be really bad. I mean, it could be really, really bad. So we'll just, again, we're going to continue to play the game, because at this point it's still a game. It gets serious once they're elected. But until they're elected, it's just a game. I also want to be mindful, as many of you, of course, know this, but one of the biggest differences in any campaign is the incumbent president is always going to be busier, more stressed, I would say less better prepared than the person that he or she would be running against. And so they have less prep time, but, you know, the president obviously has a very good team of people behind him. It was a good night. It was a really good night. It was a really good night for the president, not such a good night for the candidate, Romney, and it is what it is. 888-552-3595. We've got to take a break in just about a minute. So Dorian and Bob, stay where you're at. We'll definitely come to you right after the break. We're going to get to a little more audio as well. We'll listen to some of the closing statements. A lot of people got nervous, didn't think that Barack Obama was going to mention the 47% remark. Strategy-wise, I thought it was brilliant because he threw it in at the very end where Willard couldn't really respond to it, just the way that it worked out. And so, that actually was a good strategy at the end of the day. This is about strategy, after all. It's about winning an election, and I think the president did a fine job last night. All right, Dorian and Bob, stay where you're at. We're going to take a very quick break here. When we come back, we'll take some more calls. We're happy to have you join us. 888-552-3595, Tony at thetonyshow.org, and again on Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. Happy Wednesday morning to you on this Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. A quick break here. We'll be back with some calls right after we do this.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I think the American people have to ask themselves, is the reason that Governor Romney is keeping all these plans secret because they're too good?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Just got our first accident. It's over on 75 northbound at Square Lake Road, and it's blocking your right lane. And just got slow traffic on 696 westbound between 11 Mile and 75. 75 northbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. More slow moving traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Allard, and 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy,
But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center. If Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Organized labor and the right to collective bargaining is under direct attack in Michigan. It's been under direct attack in Wisconsin, and we've seen what has happened there. And it is of crucial importance to protect collective bargaining in Michigan and make it illegal for the legislatures in Lansing to take that basic right of workers away from us. My name is Kylie James. I work at Kroger in Birmingham, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiani. Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, we're going to go right to the phones. Joining us now is candidate Dorian Costin, who is with us on the show was it Monday? Whatever day it was. Dorian, nice to have you back.
Oh, hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing well. Your thoughts on the debate last night?
I want to just point out the fact that President Obama once again did an outstanding job in just telling the American people it's a fact. You know, he's pointing out the fact that, you know, everything's going to be tough. And again, he pointed out the fact that Mitt Romney is just, you know, he's, you know, no other way to put it but to say that Mitt Romney is a snake oil salesman and that he's promising to have the perfect elixir for everything. I mean, no specifics and no harm.
Oh, how very Republican of him, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the private sector, Mitt Romney can fire anyone he wanted to when things didn't work out. And it doesn't work like that in government.
No.
You have to be sacrificed. You have to have a plan.
Yeah, you're right. Dorian, thanks for the call. He's 100% right. Mitt Romney, he just doesn't understand. I don't think he quite understands the dynamics of the presidency. He might understand the dynamics of the governorship, but it's not the same. 888-552-3595. Bob in Royal Oak joins us now. Bob, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony, you hear me okay?
I hear you just fine, Bob.
Okay. Hey, Tony, I just wanted to bring up, I believe this Romney campaign, what they're doing, is just throwing out a bunch of balls and keeping everybody, running over to fact check this, fact check that. We know he's a liar. I mean, let's just say it. The guy's a liar. He may be a businessman that does business. He's not going to help this country get out of a hole. He's going to help the 1%. But I think he's got everybody on the Obama campaign running here, running there, and we're getting off focus. I mean, focus is he won't show his tax returns. The guy's a liar. His father himself showed, 12 tax returns when his father was governor.
Right.
The bottom line is we need to focus back on, our economy, sure. But let's just tell Romney, go home, stay home, go ahead. He's successful in business. Go ahead and do that. And let's get this economy on the road and focus back on our jobs. And, we know we have a good president here. let's just let keep him from, you know, taking us off focus by, you know, just forget about him. Romney is a you know, he's a shyster.
Huh.
There's no other words for it. Shyster, cheat, liar. We know all that. So let's stay focused back on the economy. We've got 7.8% now. You know, that's great. We've got construction going on over here in Royal Oak. You know, people, open your eyes. There's signs going up for, you know, help wanted. You know, I think the economy is turning around. That's no help from the Republican Party.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Bob. Go ahead.
We have record filibusters or not?
Yeah, you know? I mean, listen, the Senate, and thank you for the call, Bob. The Senate has been obstructionist. The House has been beyond obstructionist. Excuse me. Romney has proven himself to be a liar, and Bob was right. We might as well call it what it is. It's Mitt Romney is a liar. We can prove that. It's not even like you've got to go that far to do that. In fact, most of us know what he speaks of. Again, feel free to join us. We're open lines to the top of the hour, 888-552-3595. Your thoughts on last night's debate as we welcome my new friend, Roger, in Garden City. Roger, a pleasure to have you on the show again today.
Good morning, Tony. It was interesting to watch Willard, how slippery a weasel that this guy is. He didn't have anything to respond to on the fairness of equal pay for women. Never got back to the Obama campaign about anything regarding that. So the president called him out on that. He also talked about immigration and his self-deport thing with the Hispanics. Then behind closed doors, he says about the 47% that he doesn't care about them. Then he says, and the debate, that he cares about 100% of people. This guy is a two-faced, slippery weasel, you know. And I'll tell you what, the president made a fool out of him last night on everything. And then he said about his five-point plan, and the president said it's a one-point plan, more tax cuts for the wealthy. So can we trust this guy? This guy will say anything to get elected. He's so two-faced and such a liar, you can't trust him.
Well, Roger, again, thank you for your call. Roger's not wrong. You know, I loved the president's comeback with, you know, you've got a one-point plan. Roger's right. That was a great call. You know, president he showed up last night. He showed up in a big, big way, and let's hope he continues to do that, because this is still a much tighter race than maybe some, especially on my side of the aisle, are willing to agree. 888-552-3595. Roger, great call. Let's go to Amir in Detroit, who joins us now. My brother, your thoughts on the debate last night?
Hey, go Tigers also.
There you go.
But, you know, when Romney, just to piggyback off what the caller before Roger said about the president hit Romney on 100%. You know, I would have been glad if the president would say, if you cared about the 100%, why were you shipping their jobs to China? And then in your speech, during your, what did they do, the big speech, for his acceptance speech of the nomination?
Yes.
He sat out there and said when he shut down plants from they making $22 an hour with benefits, they went to get jobs at Staples and Domino's with their two jobs at $8 an hour with no benefits. So they're still making less, and they don't have benefits, so I don't see how you care about families or 100% of the people. That really would have added on to that 47% comment.
Yeah, and I don't think, Amir, thank you for the call. I don't think that not everybody catches that stuff, but we're going to get to the 47% comment here in just a little bit. I think it's critically important that y'all were paying attention, because I think you're calling it the way it should be called. No question about it. 888-552-3595. John in Bloomfield joins us now. John, good morning to you. What's on your mind?
I thought the debate went pretty well. I thought they were both pretty evenly matched. I know you got a lot of callers saying that President Obama beat Romney soundly, but I don't believe he did. I believe they both made some good points, and they both made some poor statements.
Well, listen, you got a right to your opinion, John. I'm not going to criticize that. You know, some people did see it as being tied. Some people even saw Mitt Romney as winning, of course. So You know, take that for what it's worth. Listen, the president certainly performed much better last night than he did 2 weeks ago. There's no question that's true. That doesn't make him the winner, though. It just means that he was better than he was the last time. I happen to think he won the debate, if you actually win these things, because I thought he had better and more sound answers. And, you know, Willard really seemed to struggle at times to find the right words. And listen, for somebody that does this on a daily basis, you know, it's sometimes finding the right words is very, very difficult. All right, we're going to take another quick break here. Larry and Lapeer is up next, so we're going to go to him right after the break. Again, join us. We're open lines at the top of the hour. We've got a little more audio to get to as well, so we'll do that after the break, too. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano on First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Just got our first accident. It's over on 75 northbound at Square Lake Road, and it's blocking your right lane. And just got slow traffic on 696 westbound between 11 Mile and 75. 75 northbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. More slow-moving traffic on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Allard, and 96 eastbound between Wixom and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Senator Dick Durbin visited Bainport Tuesday. Jesse Russell reports.
Workers in Freeport, Illinois, continued their encampment and blockade outside of a Sensata factory. Dubbed Bainport, the workers are asking Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney to ask Bain Capital to reconsider moving their jobs to China. Romney is a 51% shareholder in Bain, which he helped found in the early 80s. On Tuesday, the workers were visited by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, telling the workers there is a solution to help stop the flow of jobs from the U.S. to China, waiting in Washington.
We could pass the Bring Jobs Home to America Act. It's an important bill. It's an important bill. 6 years ago, I introduced it. Last two or three years, it's been Senator Debbie Stabenow out of Michigan. Michigan knows this story pretty well. And here's what it says. If you're going to create a tax code, your tax code ought to have the right values in it.
Durbin said it's time to start rewarding companies that choose to stay on American soil and create American jobs.
Companies that believe in this country, believe in our workers, believe in our families, will give you the tax break to stay in America.
More than 25,000 activists on RootsAction.org are demanding President Obama and Congress commit to not cutting a dime from Social Security and Medicare. The activists say so far 29 U.S. senators have committed not to cut Social Security. Obama so far has refused to commit to not cutting Social Security and Medicare. In fact, he's willing to accept cuts to both programs. A strong majority of Americans, though, oppose making any cuts to those two programs. Social Security is fully funded for many years to come. Removing the cap on payroll taxes for the wealthiest could guarantee Social Security funding with no cuts in benefits. Senator Bernie Sanders has introduced legislation to do that. Both Social Security and Medicare could be fully funded and even expanded without cutting any benefits if politicians decide to represent the will of the American people on those issues. The National Union of Healthcare Workers is suing SEIU, alleging assault and battery by SEIU UHW union stewards. The suit charges that on July 20th, over two dozen SEIU UHW stewards surrounded NUHW representative Gloria Watkins. The suit says they chanted and clapped in a hostile manner and then verbally and physically attacked Watkins with repeated elbow strikes to her torso. and UHW is trying to get SEIU members at Kaiser Permanente to leave SEIU and join the NUHW. NUHW says as the two unions compete for members, SEIU is allegedly engaging in a pattern of bullying.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. We're talking debate. Last night's debate, we're open lines at the top of the hour. 888-552-3595. If you care to join us, would love to hear from you. How do you feel the president did last night? How do you feel Willard did last night? How are you feeling in general about the election? Let's go to the phones and welcome Larry in Lapeer. Larry, thanks so much for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. That was a very fast 90 minutes, and our man came to party. I was tickled to death how he handled everything. He was concise. He was very pointed. He didn't take any grief, and he was there all night long, and he challenged Romney every time he tried to move. But the most telling piece of the entire night, I think, happened right afterwards when they were both greeting their spouses. And if you got the pan, when the camera touched on Mitt's wife's face, you could tell she looked like a deer caught in headlights. It was like, oh, my God. And I was just, you know, I don't feel sorry for him because he got caught with his pants down. It's about damn time.
Well,
thanks, Tony.
Yeah, Larry, thank you for the call. I don't disagree. The characterization's fairly accurate. And, you know, the more bravado that he had, the more that the comments against what he was saying brought him down a peg. And by the way, Candy Crowley, when she corrected Willard on the comment about Benghazi, Libya, that was actually not one of the rules. Was she couldn't interject her own opinion or even facts. She wasn't supposed to do that. It was supposed to be about the audience members. But she had sent out hints days before that this was something she was going to do. All right, a little more audio before we get to more calls. And again, feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. In the final 2 minutes of the interview, President Obama and... And I'm sorry, not the final 2 minutes. It was the final 2 minutes. I talked about gun control, of all the crazy things. And Mitt Romney, I guess, needs a history lesson because he doesn't realize that the ban on some weapons expired at the beginning of Obama's term. But this is the exchange, cut number 10, between the two of them.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of new pieces of legislation on guns and taking guns away or making certain guns illegal. We, of course, don't want to have automatic weapons, and that's already illegal in this country to have automatic weapons. What I believe is we have to do, as the president mentioned towards the end of his remarks there, which is to make enormous efforts to enforce the gun laws that we have and to change the culture of violence we have. And you ask, how are we going to do that? And there are a number of things. He mentioned good schools. I totally agree. We were able to drive our schools to be number one in the nation in my state. And I believe if we do a better job in education, we'll give people the hope and opportunity they deserve and perhaps less violence from that. But let me mention another thing, and that is parents. We need moms and dads helping raise kids. Wherever possible, the benefit of having two parents in the home, and that's not always possible. A lot of great single moms, single dads. But, gosh, to tell our kids that before they have babies, they ought to think about getting married to someone, that's a great idea. Because if there's a two-parent family, the prospect of living in poverty goes down dramatically. The opportunities that the child will be able to achieve increase dramatically. So we can make changes in the way our culture works to help bring people away from violence and give them opportunity and bring them in the American system.
Is it a fair question to ask how Mitt Romney plans to create jobs? I know that he talks a lot about doing it, as does the president, but how does he plan to create jobs? Now, the nation's finest economist said that we should add somewhere between $14 and $16 billion in new jobs over the next few years. But how does he plan on doing that? What industry? I don't think we're done with this fight, if you will, over the deficit and budgets. And so it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. And then you've got to ask yourself this question. If President Obama is reelected and the Congress stays in the majority control of the Tea Party, or I'm sorry, the Republican Party, wow, there was a Freudian slip for you. Will the Tea Party then control the entire process? That should be enough to scare you right there. 888-552-3595. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. I watched the debate. I think President Obama did better. I think in the whole scheme of things, I think he probably eked out a victory, if you want to call it that. I think on Mitt's side, I think he started getting the weeds about individual stuff that just didn't, it just wasn't a place for it as far as, you know, whose pensions got what investments where. I mean, everyone knows the president has pretty much investments all over the place. I have investments all over the place. And you do too, probably. So, I mean, that's just getting in the weeds too much. And then Benghazi, you don't get into the minutiae. Overall, Benghazi works against the president because we know he lied and we know there's a cover-up. He doesn't have to get into what he said in the Rose Garden. That's what hurt Mitt Romney. What hurts President Obama is just simply, you know, the record over the last 4 years is not a good record to run on, and he can't.
Well,
so, but, I mean, overall, I think he, you know, barely eked out a victory. It doesn't change the momentum, or it doesn't change, you know, it's going to be a close election, but it doesn't, you know, fundamentally change anything as far as the election is concerned.
Well, Steve, thanks for your call. Yeah, no, I'm here. Thanks for your call, and I appreciate everything. Of course, I don't embrace the idea that you know, the president lied about Benghazi. I just don't believe that. The immediate aftermath, and let's talk about Willard politicizing Benghazi, and even Rudy Giuliani admitting on television the other day that they love this issue because it makes the president look bad. You're sending that message not just to Americans, but anybody that reads American newspapers, and they all do, all over the world. So don't be foolish enough to think that that's not getting the attention of some folks today, because it is getting the attention. Let's go to one more piece of audio before we take our next break, and then we'll get to some more calls. Cut number 11 deals with Obama, President Obama, on Mitt Romney's tax plan and how he's going to cut the deficit. This is what they had to say.
Governor, let me ask the president something about what you just said. The governor says that he is not going to allow the top 5%, I believe is what he said, to have a tax cut, that it will all even out, that what he wants to do is give that tax cut to the middle class. Settled?
No, it's not settled. Look, the cost of lowering rates for everybody across the board, 20%, along with what he also wants to do in terms of eliminating the estate tax, along with what he wants to do in terms of corporate changes in the tax code, it costs about $5 trillion. Governor Romney then also wants to spend $2 trillion on additional military programs, even though the military is not asking for them. That's $7 trillion. He also wants to continue the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest Americans. That's another $1 trillion. That's $8 trillion. Now, what he says is he's going to make sure that this doesn't add to the deficit, and he's going to cut middle-class taxes. But when he's asked, how are you going to do it, which deductions, which loopholes are you going to close, he can't tell you. The fact that he only has to pay 14% on his taxes when a lot of you are paying much higher, you know, he's already taken that off the board. Capital gains are going to continue to be at a low rate, so we're not going to get money that way. We haven't heard from the governor any specifics beyond Big Bird and eliminating funding for Planned Parenthood in terms of how he pays for that. Now, Governor Romney was a very successful investor. If somebody came to you, Governor, with a plan that said, here, I want to spend $7 or $8 trillion, and then we're going to pay for it, but we can't tell you until maybe after the election how we're going to do it, you wouldn't have taken such a sketchy deal. And neither should you, the American people, because the math doesn't add up. And what's at stake here is one of two things. Either, Candy, this blows up the deficit, Because keep in mind, this is just to pay for the additional spending that he's talking about. $7-8 trillion, that's before we even get to the deficit we already have. Or alternatively, it's got to be paid for not only by closing deductions for wealthy individuals. That'll pay for about 4% reduction in tax rates. You're going to be paying for it. You'll lose some deductions. And you can't buy this sales pitch. Nobody who's looked at it that's serious actually believes it adds up.
And that's because it doesn't add up. And, the president's math may have been off by a trillion here or there, more like a trillion there. But, it doesn't. Between 5 and 7 trillion is a lot of money. And not that 15 trillion isn't a whole lot more or 20 trillion, but 15 trillion is a lot of money. And we shouldn't make light of that. The one thing that they didn't really get into in a big way last night that the president has talked a great deal about is revenue sharing and the formula for doing that and how we keep our city landmarks safe, whether that be schools, whether that be parking lots, whatever. There are jobs out there that perhaps you and I would never have, but that doesn't mean anybody doesn't want them. And I'm pretty happy for them. I am. I'm pretty happy for him. At what level do we draw a line? At what level do we say, okay, well, now we move on to the next stage of this? Is it 8 o'clock? Well, actually, we're going to talk to Stephen Henderson about the debate as well. But now we move on. Now, I mean, we feel good about the president's leadership last night. We feel good about his answers. We feel like we've made some progress over the first debate, which all is true. Mitt Romney's really embarrassed himself to a larger degree. Now, he didn't make a complete fool out of himself, and I didn't say that. I said he's kind of embarrassed himself a little bit, especially with the Libya remarks. And we've got one more piece of sound that we'll get to on the other side. But, folks, this is stuff that this is good stuff. This is good drama. 888-552-3595. Let's take one last break here in this hour. In the next hour, Stephen Henderson, Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood, but you've still got time to ring us up. If you want to discuss the debate, go ahead and do it now, and we'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trivano.
And you guys vote Republican. I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely, so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members, a place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Unions work.
Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before 8 o'clock, who won, who lost in last night's debate? You got a few minutes to call us yet, 888-552-3595. Some are calling this the moment where President Obama didn't just kick Romney's butt up and down the proverbial political football field, but some say this is the point where Mitt Romney may have given up any hope that he would ever acquire the presidency. In cut number one, we saved the best for last in this hour. Well, I'll let it speak for itself.
The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden and I told the American people and the world that we are going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror, and I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime. And then a few days later, I was there greeting the caskets coming into Andrews Air Force Base and grieving with the families. And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether the Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
Governor, if you want to reply quickly, please.
I think it's interesting. The president just said something which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror. It did as well take... It did as well take 2 weeks or so for the whole idea of there being a riot out there about this tape to come out. You're correct about that.
The administration indicated that this was a reaction to a video and was a spontaneous reaction.
It did.
It took them a long time to say this was a terrorist act by a terrorist group. And to suggest, am I incorrect in that regard? On Sunday, your secretary, ambassador to the United Nations, one of the Sunday television shows and spoke about how this was a spontaneous reaction.
I'm happy to have a longer conversation about foreign policy.
Absolutely, but I want to move you on, and
okay,
also
I'm
people
happy to
can
do that
go
too.
To the transcripts.
I just want to make sure that all these wonderful folks are going to have a chance to get some of their questions answered.
Okay, so that is the president. Take it for what it's worth. Take it for what it's worth. I'll let you decide on your own. 888-552-3595 as we're getting ready to wrap up this hour. If you want to get in, now is the time to call. We welcome Brooks and Novi. Brooks, my friend, great to talk to you this morning. I'm assuming you want to comment on last night's debate.
Yeah, I do. And I watch it. I've watched both of them. There's no doubt the president showed up for this one. There was no empty chair or empty podium. But as far as the Benghazi and Libya thing, I think both sides are playing politics with it, Tony. But the reality is, from a citizen standpoint, and understanding some of the facts surrounding it, like the amount of times that this current president has been attending his morning security briefings, the fact that he was on his way to Las Vegas to do a campaign fundraiser and then on to Colorado when the State Department is watching in real time, supposedly, the fact that things were calm and normal outside that embassy moments before the attack. And for 2 weeks, we heard Susan Rice, we heard Hillary Clinton, we heard the president himself address the world at the UN, pushing the narrative that this was some spontaneous reaction to some low-budget film that some goofball in California made.
Yes,
you know,
but
I'm not buying it, Tony. I'm just not buying it.
Well, and that's fine. You know, Brooks, is it possible that both sides play politics with this issue? Absolutely. We'll remember, and thank you for your call, Brooks. We'll remember that in that exchange at the United Nations, the president talked about the First Amendment and protecting the First Amendment, but also not being tolerant. He says, you know, we live in a country, and I'm paraphrasing here, where we believe in free speech, that there are other communities that should also practice and participate in free speech. Which there is some truth to that. I'm not totally defending the aftermath of what happened in Benghazi. At the same time, the president did say in both the speech in the Rose Garden and in the speech at the UN, he didn't necessarily say this specific terrorist attack, because I don't believe that's necessarily what was on the minds of everybody, but he certainly said America will show resolve, we'll defend ourselves, and we will. And we do respond to terrorism, and we did. Let's go to Will. Will, welcome to First Shift. Thanks for punching in this morning. Your thoughts on last night's debate?
How you doing, Tony?
I'm fine, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, I think everything went really well, you know. I mean, Obama did what he had to do. Romney came off to me, you know, and I've dealt with corporate America quite a bit, came off like a normal CEO that would give himself a bonus when his company's going bankrupt. You know, he just had that attitude, that dominating attitude, even in the clip you played. When he got caught having his facts wrong, he still kind of spun it around where, well, I'm kind of right, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I guess the main issue I wanted to just bring up real quick, he bragged about his governorship, and he said he had a balanced budget. That's not a fact, is it? That's
yes, it is. No. All states by constitution have to have a balanced budget. You have to. It's not a choice, Will. No. It was balanced. They don't have a choice.
But he bragged about that, and did he run for re-election?
No, he did not.
I thought his popularity was so bad he didn't even run.
Absolutely.
So that part there just kind of left me like, how could you brag about something that you were in such shape that you didn't even hear you were the incumbent and didn't even run for office? And I think that's something that needs to be brought up.
Yeah, and in fact, well, thanks for the call. And in fact, I believe Mitt Romney's losing in the state of Massachusetts by 20 or 30 points at this juncture. But I want to thank everybody for their calls. We're just about out of time in this hour. I want to thank everybody for their calls over the last 2 hours. Again, appreciate everybody's passion. Not that you can't join us with Stephen Henderson. Feel free to do that. We are going to stick on this topic for a short period of time. But for now, we need to take a break for the top of the hour. Listen to NBC News. Let me stretch my legs a little bit. And we're going to do all that and so much more as we work through our second half of this First Shift program. Stay with us. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Let's head over to 75 northbound and Square Lake Road. They've just cleared that accident, but you still got stop and go traffic from Crooks Road. Also, we got slow traffic on 696 westbound between Van Dyke and 75 northbound between West Road and Dix Toledo Highway. Also slow moving on 75 southbound between Rochester and 8 Mile, and also on the live southbound between Wyoming and Livernois. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet's Great Steak Pledge just got even greater. For a limited time, Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet is serving its thick-cut Rancher's Select Sirloin for just $9.99 every night. Come in tonight for a great steak dinner at a great low price. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
Of biting attacks and finger-pointing last night as President Obama and Mitt Romney debated town hall style at Hofstra University, sparring on everything from jobs to taxes to oil production.
What we did was take away those leases, and we are now reletting them.
Private on government land is down.
No, it isn't.
Production on government land of oil is down 14%. And production on gas is down 9%.
The face-off characterized by interruptions and personal attacks as the candidates compete for a shrinking sliver of undecided voters. Shake and rattle last night in Maine as a magnitude 4 earthquake struck near the town of Hollis Center. No reports of serious damage or injuries. Wall Street's bullish again. Stocks up sharply the past two sessions. And even a member of the country's highest court can run afoul of the Philadelphia Parking Authority. Just ask Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. His vehicle ticketed despite an official business placard on the dashboard. This is NBC News Radio. It was a feistier President Obama at last night's debate. NBC's David Gregory says that's a marked departure from the first presidential face-off.
Well, I think liberals can breathe a sigh of relief. It's not curtains for the president. He showed up and showed up big tonight. He was more aggressive. He had a lot of fight in him, a little light on his vision for the future.
Instant polls give the president a narrow debate victory over Mitt Romney. Now it's back to the trail. The candidates and their running mates visit six states today, less than 3 weeks left. Talk show legend Larry King has signed on to moderate a debate among third-party candidates. He says it's clear none will win, but they all deserve a voice in the presidential race. And what's the most spine-tingling sound around? How about fingernails on a blackboard? Voted by Newcastle University as one of the worst offenders to the human ear. Worst of the worst? Hold your ears. It's a knife scraping a bottle. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Mom, what if something happens to Dad?
Why would something happen to Dad?
Tom's dad died, and he wasn't even sick. Now they have to move.
Life's unpredictable, and when you put off things like life insurance, you can get caught off guard. Fidelity Life makes protecting your family affordable, even in today's economy. Less than $15 a month buys a healthy 40-year-old a $250,000 term life insurance policy. We just assess your needs, give you our best quote and our competitors, and then you choose. We work directly with the nation's top carriers to find the policy that's right for you. And because we give you the best quotes, you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-397-7200 for your free quote and 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-397-7200. That's 1-800-397-7200. Or visit FidelityLife.com. Fidelity Life Association is licensed in all states and the District of Columbia, except for Wyoming and New York. Not all products available in all states. Applications and rates are subject to underwriting approval.
Yesterday, we told you confidence of home builders in their own industry has risen to a six-year high. So what do home builders do when they're confident? They build. In the coming hour, the Census Bureau gives us its measure of new home construction for September, as well as permits for future projects. Economists think once again we'll see increases in both groundbreakings and in new construction plans. A pair of stalwarts in the technology field have similar news, which is not good news. Intel and IBM both say their profits fell back last quarter as demand slowed for hardware and services. In Intel's case, rising popularity of tablets gets the blame for slowing PC chip sales. Both IBM and Intel say revenue missed forecasts. Weaker than forecast revenue is becoming something of a theme now. This hour, Bank of America and Pepsi both have reported their third quarter results. Both companies missed forecasts for sales. S&P futures up 3 points. NASDAQ futures right now losing 4. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
This is Charles Osgood. Our country was founded by and still celebrates self-starters who get things done on their own. And I see that independent spirit today in the small business owners we rely on to keep our lives running. But who do those small business owners rely on? Simple. The UPS store. Small business owners know that the UPS store in their neighborhood is locally owned, it's convenient, and can help with all of their packing and shipping needs. And the UPS store can help to promote their business with professional printing services for things like brochures, flyers, even posters. With their mailbox services, the UPS store can also sign for packages and send a text or email when they arrive, so no more waiting around for that important delivery. Perhaps the best thing the UPS store does is give small business owners the feeling that they're not alone out there. And even for these self-starters, that sure does feel reassuring.
We love small business. We love logistics. To find the location near you, visit theupsstore.com.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Oh,
no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes! What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you expand to a new area.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
So your business can thrive.
Business forms for invoices.
Because at the end of the day, only one thing is really important.
More invoices.
So you go to the one place that has it all.
Staples.
And prints it right.
Staples.
Staples. Right now, buy 250 business cards, postcards, flyers, or brochures and get 250 free. Details in-store or at staples.com/color. Ends 11-10-12.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, the 17th day of October 2012. Debate. And you folks, even those that are lean a little more right, agreed the president had a great showing last night. I understand some of the skepticism with regard to some of the issues, but appreciate everybody's honesty this morning. Certainly the flurry of activity on the phones and via email. I haven't even gotten to most of the email. I did mention one or two of them. I have also been quite responsive. Anyway, we've got a great hour lined up, as we do every Wednesday at this time. Stephen Henderson in just a moment. Lori Lamran with Planned Parenthood at the bottom of the hour. But before we do anything, let's do an intro and let's get this hour underway.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
Recall, in my mind, is for malfeasance in office. It's for the rare occasion when you have somebody who says, I will do X and then does Y. I mean, even then, I think it's got to be a very egregious instance of that to justify a recall.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
The question becomes, how much of a serious discussion is this? How much of a productive discussion is this?
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is that voice of reason himself. Good morning, Stephen. A pleasure to have you with us. But by the way, do I need to like send that to your wife so she understands you are the voice of reason?
That's right. That's the way that things ought to work in our household too, right?
Absolutely. Yes, of course. I'm sure your kids agree that you're the voice of reason as well.
Somehow I don't see that flying.
Yeah, well, I can relate to that. I said to somebody just 2 days ago that said, my oh my, you know, for a guy that does what you do, you don't have to have an ego. And I said, yeah, you don't live in my house. There are no egos in this house. Thank you very much.
That's right.
I'm Tony and Dad at home. That's what I am. So
That's exactly right.
Wouldn't have it any other way, Stephen. Wouldn't have it any other way. Well, listen, we obviously open up today with what has to be number one on the mind, certainly of my listeners. We've taken lots of calls this morning, and I would think the top of your mind, Stephen, it's, of course, last night's debate, so I'm just going to throw it to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we saw a very different Barack Obama last night than we had 2 weeks ago. At one point, I tweeted, you know, welcome to the campaign, Mr. President, because he certainly was prepared and he was ready, and he was a little, I think, testy at times, and eager to sort of, I think, do the things and make the points that he didn't make in that first debate against Mitt Romney, when he just sort of, he just seemed out of it and not at all engaged. So, you know, it's a race now, right? At least so far as the debates are concerned, and we'll see who pulls a better performance out next Monday.
Well, that being said, you know, the first debate, above the fold, Stephen Henderson, these are my remarks, and Obama lost, where was he, and so on and so forth. So let's fast forward to certainly last night. I read your comments this morning. Certainly, you know, you didn't ignore the fact that Mitt Romney got a couple good lines in here or there. But obviously, as you just said, the president did show up last night. Certainly the whole Libya exchange doesn't look good for the Romney campaign. It just looks like, again, he's out of touch. And unfortunately, Stephen, the way Mitt Romney responded or reacted to the Libya comments were, unfortunately, right-wing media talking points, which have proven to be false. So
yeah.
Shame on him.
Yeah, and you know, this is the I think the cardinal sort of error for candidates for president. You have to acknowledge, and I think this is one of Mitt Romney's problems. He's never had to deal with foreign affairs in any regard. I mean, the Olympics is as close as he's gotten to that. And he's running against a guy who has for 4 years had to manage this country's entire international relations operation from a military standpoint, from a diplomatic standpoint. It's a mismatch. It always is, because really the only qualification you could have for managing foreign affairs is, well, managing foreign affairs. And I think a lot of challengers don't get that you're talking to some guy and you're debating with some guy who has you know, had that 3 a.m. phone call that Hillary Clinton referred to so eloquently 4 years ago, and has dealt with it. This is a guy who caught Osama bin Laden. So you got to be really careful when you sort of take shots at what that person has done or not done. And I thought the president did a really good job last night of basically looking, making Mitt Romney look like he just has never been there. He's never had to deal with this stuff, and he doesn't understand how it works. The Libya thing is a complicated and difficult situation to understand, first of all, not just to make a decision about. And taking pot shots at the president for how quickly he, for example, called it a terrorist attack. I mean, what difference does it make? The issue is, it happened. You got to find the person who did it and make them pay. And then you go back and you figure out, how can we prevent it from happening again? And that's what the administration has done. The right has tried to make this into some colossal intelligence failure, and even worse, and Romney fell into this last night, even worse, some sort of sign of bad Middle East policy on the United States part. This is not about the United States, ultimately. What's going on in Libya is about the factions in that country that have been unleashed since you got rid of a dictator. They are an emerging democracy with all of the struggles that you have when you first try to do it that way. You're always going to have to figure out where extremists fit in to a sort of democratic form of government. It's not really about us. We are there. We are trying to help. But the policy that we need to sort of affect is not an America first kind of bravado that Romney tried to articulate last night. So I thought that was one of the lowest points for him. And I think it betrays that kind of arrogance that he has, that, you know, well, I handled the Olympics, so I know about foreign affairs, and he's not acknowledging that he's dealing with somebody whose experience is just much, much deeper and broader.
Yeah, there's no question that's true. Let's take a quick call before we have to get to the break and welcome Theo in Detroit. Theo, thanks for punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Happy Wednesday to both of you.
Thank you.
I think that President Barack Obama did a wonderful job last night, and he won, of course. But when you talk about foreign affairs, is it not true that Romney kind of eased on out of the United States and went to France to join the Peace Corps, it appears, to avoid going in the military?
Actually, I don't think that's I don't think that's how it happened. I know that after college, like most Mormons, if not all Mormons, Mitt Romney went on a mission for the church, and they all, I think, are required to do that. I actually don't know enough about.
Yeah, that's called it's called missionary work. They all do missionary work after they graduate high school. And in fact, when I was in Charlotte for the convention, Stephen, Anthony and I went to get a haircut, and we ran into two young Mormon men that are doing their missionary work in Charlotte. They go all over the country. They go all over the world. So it just depends where you get sent. So, no, that I don't think that was a draft dodge. I'm just being upfront about it. And it was just part of what Mitt Romney needed to do to fulfill his Mormon faith. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. And that was especially critical for him, given his emerging, at that point, emerging Mormon leadership. I mean, he's not just a member of the Mormon church. He's a leader in that church. And even at that point in his life, I think had been sort of identified and tapped for that kind of role. So he spent a long time. I think he talked about this when I sat and talked with him in the spring, actually. I can't remember how long he was there, but he lived there a good long time. I mean, it was more than a year, I believe.
I believe he was there just over 2 years, Stephen. And he ended up being both a bishop and a temple president. Which is a very important role in the Mormon faith. So yes, I mean he, you know, we've had some discussion on this on the show. We actually had a woman on the show not long ago, Stephen, that was an expert on the Mormon Church. She's an ex-member of the Mormon faith. And, you know, talked about, well, some pretty bizarre stuff, which we're not going to get into now. Well, you know, it's Mormonism is one of those things that, and the reason we had the conversation is I wanted people to better understand the faith, and I don't know that we were any smarter on the other side of it, to be honest with you. That's not a 20-minute conversation.
No, it really isn't. That's true. One thing that I do remember him talking about, though, when we talked about this, because it actually came up in answer to a question we asked about how he was able to identify with people who didn't come from the advantages and the privilege that he did. And he brought up his time in France, which was not spent in Paris, you know, in some lavish hotel. It was spent outside the city in very poor areas of the country where there were lots of immigrants. And he was doing, he lived there and did his work there and talked quite eloquently, in fact, about the stuff he learned about.
Stephen, we've got to get to the break. So let's hold that thought. We'll wrap it up on this side. Some other issues we want to get to. 888-552-3595. But we're up against the break. We'll be back.
With Tony. President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic. If you're in the area of Clarkston, 75 southbound between Sashabaugh and Baldwin, traffic is stopped in that area. We got an accident on 94 westbound at 8 Mile. It has your left lane blocked and stop and go traffic from 10 Mile. Also, another accident has your right shoulder blocked on 75 southbound and 696. So that's adding to that already slow traffic in that area. And we got stop and go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and US 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
From her first moments as mayor, Janice Daniels has repeatedly disrespected the city of Troy and its citizens. During her swearing-in ceremony, she blatantly refused to take the oath to uphold the city charter of Troy. Justifying her actions, Mayor Daniels declared the city charter to be a whimsical document. She embarrassed the city's proud history and those public servants who came before her. She further embarrassed the city of Troy and made national headlines with her derogatory and inexcusable comments targeted at homosexuals and the LGBT community. Forever linking the city of Troy and its diverse population with this kind of intolerance. Her extreme agenda influenced her voting against expanded funding for the city library and the building of a federally funded transit center, ignoring a large bipartisan majority and the direct endorsement of Governor Rick Snyder and the wishes of the Troy Chamber of Commerce. She repeatedly used her deciding vote to ignore what was best for the city of Troy. And if Janice Daniels doesn't represent you, vote yes to recall her on November the 6th.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM, and it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Truffiano.
Absolutely. Thanks for punching in. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, is my guest. Stephen, as we wrap up our conversation on last night's debates and Mitt Romney, we were talking about his missionary work. And, yeah, I don't think Mitt Romney is naive to the plight of the not just the average person but the poor. Part of that missionary work is serving the poor, and so people that don't understand Mormonism, it is so that you have a full understanding. And one of the really great things about the Mormon Church is they do an exceptionally good job of taking care of each other.
They truly do,
and so they want people to understand what it's like. And that's why tithing is so important in the Mormon Church. And people, you know, maybe Catholics understand that a little better than some other faiths, but, you know, this gets complicated again. It's not a 20-minute conversation.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, he does deserve credit for, you know, and like I said, when we were talking with him, I mean, it was clear that he had great empathy and understanding for people who don't come from the background he does. But I think Joe Biden last week during the vice presidential debate made a great point about that, which is, you know, in a presidential campaign, it's not so much about how you feel or what you sort of say about the poor. It's about policy, and these are candidates whose policies with regard to those who don't have are not particularly helpful. I think most people would say. I mean, I think they don't get that opportunity is like gold to people who don't have, and so education and things like that are very important, and you got to invest in those things. And Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan are talking about slashing those things dramatically, in fact, in the name of more tax cuts.
So. Well, one of the things that I talk about when I do my public speaking is that budgets are moral documents, and so
that's right.
we can you know really tell a lot about a leader by their priorities, and that is certainly is a measurement of your morality, and
that's right.
I truly believe that, Stephen. So yeah, I mean that's something that you need to I think if you really want to look into the window of somebody's soul that serves the public, look at what they advocate for. I think that tells you a whole lot more than just looking from the outside and going, well, they took this position, and then, no, look at the budget.
Look at the budget.
That tells us more about people than anything else. Anyway, it was a very interesting and entertaining evening last night. They've got the one more debate, and that's my understanding that's a foreign policy debate.
Yeah, see, I think that's going to be one of the real pratfalls for Mitt Romney. It is the one area where, again, the president has a built-in advantage that you've got to acknowledge and respect. I mean, and that's one of the things that's really bothered me about these debates: the lack of respect by Mitt Romney, not just for the president, but for the moderator and for everybody else, has been a little annoying. I mean, I feel like he's in charge and he's got to direct everybody else and sort of scold everybody else for being out of line. And that's not his role. Personally, I would interpret that as, again, part of the privilege that he enjoys.
Yes.
This is a guy who's used to being in charge and, can't understand that in this process, you're the challenger, and you owe some deference to the office of the President of the United States and to the person who sits in it. And he's not shown that at all during these debates.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that particular issue. He does act like the privileged class when it comes to his treatment of the moderator. In fact, of the president, he has kind of run him over a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's just one of those things. I'm not asking him to treat the president any differently because he's the president. I am asking him, though, to be respectful to his opponent, which he has not always been.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's been a little obnoxious during these debates, so hopefully we'll see him straighten that out.
Well, I don't know, because again, foreign policy is not his strong suit, as he has proven all too many times, and if he has to get defensive again,
yeah,
and listen, nothing replaces the experience of the presidency, Stephen Henderson.
That's right. I mean, he what is the foreign policy he's articulating, and what's it based on? And that's always the question in people's minds. How do you know how to handle this stuff? And the truth is, there is no other way but being president. Or maybe if you were Secretary of State or Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you might be able to make the argument that you've been there. But Mitt Romney's not been close to that kind of thing, and his, the things that he's saying are about bravado and this sort of American machismo, and that's not policy. It's rhetoric and it's bluster. And as Joe Biden pointed out last week, what are the things that they're saying they want to do that the president and Joe Biden have not done? They won't commit to saying, well, let's go bomb Iran. I mean, essentially that's what Paul Ryan was articulating last week, but he wouldn't commit to it. Well, if you want to say that, fine, but I think that's a rash and irresponsible. We're going to have a third preemptive war now going on that doesn't make any sense. So preparation for this debate is going to be much tougher, obviously, for Mitt Romney than it will be for Barack Obama, who's, you know, every morning I'm sure waking up to deal with all of these various issues around the globe.
His first meeting every day, if you you can go online and look at the president's schedule, folks. His first meeting every day is his foreign policy briefing, security briefing. Let me ask you this just very quickly, since we're really not going to have time to get into the other topics that you had sent me. Do you agree that this president, surprisingly, and I mean that in a positive way, has been stronger on foreign policy than anybody really could have guessed?
Oh, sure. I mean, I think that's an area where he's outperformed most people's expectations. And again, it was because he hadn't been there. And if you think back to 2008, when he and Hillary Clinton were competing for the nomination, that was one of her strongest arguments, was that he hadn't been there, and that you know, she was making the argument that at least she was married to the guy who had been there and had some familiarity with it, and she'd been in the Senate much longer than Barack Obama had, and had a little more foreign experience that way. But yeah, I mean, that was supposed to be his Achilles heel, that he wouldn't, like she said, he wouldn't be ready for that 3 a.m. phone call, wouldn't know what to do. Well, it's come several times in the last 4 years, no question, and he's made very, very good calculating decisions, and again, without this sort of bravado that we get from the other party that says, you know, essentially we're going to kick your butt, you know, under any circumstances, which is essentially what Paul Ryan was trying to say last week.
Absolutely. Well, Stephen, we're just out of time. I want to thank you, as always, for your time. We'll look forward as we inch ever closer to Election Day. I'm excited. I get you the day after the election this year. So I'm very excited about that. Stephen, thanks so much for your time today.
Yep. See you next week.
You bet. Stephen Henderson, editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS Sundays. Let's take a quick break here. Lori Lamram with Planned Parenthood when we continue here on First Shift.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Checking that rush hour traffic, 75 southbound just before Baldwin. Accident has your left two lanes blocked with stop and go traffic from Ortonville. Another accident has your left lane blocked on 94 westbound at 8 Mile with stop and go traffic from 696. Heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and State Street. Also more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 6 Mile. And we got another reported accident on 96 eastbound at Inkster Road with slow traffic from Newburgh. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Monopoly is back at McDonald's with more fun than ever. Find game pieces on your faves like Big Mac and large fries. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
As we know, the government can't do anything right. We know this not only because a menagerie of right-wing media yakkers and anti-government politicians ceaselessly bleat this message at us, but also because it's often echoed by such basso profundo media voices as the New York Times. For example, the Times recently went after the U.S. Postal Service, a favorite target of political forces eager to privatize our nation's mail agency. Distress deepening postal service defaults, screeched the headline, with the article's opening sentence assailing the hapless agency for sinking deeper into debt, having missed for the second time this year a deadline to pay $5.6 billion for its future retiree health benefits. This reinforced the right-wing claims of gross bureaucratic inefficiencies, suggesting that no private corporation could stay in business if it was so slipshod. But wait, while the Times did the who, what, when, and where part of this story, it conveniently evaded the crucial question of why. The unmentioned truth is that in 2006, the forces of privatization got Congress to shackle our post office to an absurd requirement that it must, by 2015, set aside funds to cover the health benefits of all workers who will retire in the next 75 years. Hello? That includes workers who are not yet born. No corporation could or would shoulder such a crushing burden. Yet our corporatized Congress has piled this multi-billion dollar set-aside on the back of this public service, demanding that the huge sum be paid out of current postal revenues. This is Jim Hightower saying, this Enron accounting in reverse forces the Postal Service's books to look bad when they're not. It's a deliberate effort to bankrupt an invaluable public asset so it can be cannibalized by privateers. That's the big news that the Times missed.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining us now is the first damage control crisis specialist in the country, Tricia Erickson.
That would have to follow the prophets and the 12 apostles, because then if he isn't a really good Mormon, he won't get to that highest degree of glory, which is the celestial kingdom, where he is awarded his godship so that he can get his own planet and lord over his kingdom.
On 1310 WDTW.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Well, finally, after 155 minutes, 155 minutes, we're going to take a little debate break, if you will. In fact, I think we're going to be debate-free. Well, maybe that's not true, but I think we're going to be debate-free the rest of the show today, as we do every week at this time. It's time for our visit with Planned Parenthood, so give me an intro, fellas, and let's get this thing going.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women, and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves
an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And we welcome back to the program the president of Planned Parenthood Mid and South Michigan, Lori Lamoran. And maybe we're not quite done talking debate, Lori, because, as you're sure you're aware, they did mention Planned Parenthood during last night's debate.
Yeah, we got in, you know, once again, we heard the line that we never thought we'd hear. Planned Parenthood and Big Bird in the same line. That's one thing that certainly Governor Romney has been clear about. He hasn't said much about what he'll cut, which I think we should have give us all pause. But he is saying very clearly that he'll cut Planned Parenthood and National Public Radio. So I guess that gives us some level of prestige. But it's an interesting place to be.
Well, it is an interesting place to be. And, of course, the president was right to point out that cutting Planned Parenthood and Big Bird doesn't necessarily take care of any deficit in any significant way. In fact, if you combine the budgets of those two groups, we're probably talking about 1/100 of 1% of the budget, but we'll save that conversation for some other time. Lori, I haven't had a chance to chat with you since we did our fundraiser, and cannot tell you how much I enjoyed having you and John in studio with me. We just had such a great time that day, and I know we're going to do it again in the spring, and I'm already looking forward to that.
Well, we can't, again, thank you enough, Tony, and your listeners. People did call in. They did give some nice donations, and you're right. You know, it's never a bad day when you can spend the morning having a really good time with folks and helping out the people that you have professed your profession to serve. So that it was terrific, and we were grateful all the way around, not only to you, but to folks that called in and offered up their hard-earned dollars to us.
Absolutely. I do want to mention you've got a couple events coming up, so I do want to mention them. Fundraisers, by the way. Stories from Life Surprises, as we discussed last week when Desiree was in with us. A collaboration of the Society of Twisted Storytellers. I love that name. This is tomorrow, Thursday, October 18th at 8 p.m. at the Magic Stick on Woodward in Detroit. $25 general admission. The show is 18 plus only, please. Please do not come if you're under 18, and you can get your tickets right at the door. And then I've got another one here, the 54th Annual Grosse Pointe Holiday March, which is Friday and Saturday, October 19th and 20th from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Grosse Pointe War Memorial. And, Laurie, for those that have never been out there, it's worth going just to see that amazing building.
Well, it is. It's a beautiful venue, and the good people of Grosse Pointe have supported Planned Parenthood, you're right, Tony, for 54 years. It may well be the oldest fundraiser in the country. And, you know, folks get the opportunity to come out and support Planned Parenthood and maybe do some holiday shopping. So it's a great event, lots of fun, you know, and there's nothing better for me than combining shopping and Planned Parenthood at the same time. So I encourage my friends that have that same aesthetic to come on out and talk to us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, listen, this October is Let's Talk Month, so... Oh, yes, that talk, Lori. Let's talk. You know, it's interesting. I know you've got kids. I've got three kids who aren't kids anymore. They're all young adults, and having that birds and bees conversation, I find out, is maybe a little easier on the parents than it is on the kids. Who would have thunk, huh?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, you and I share boys. Well, we don't share boys, but we both have boys. So, you might think that discussing sex comes pretty easily. But in fact, the myth that it is parents who are uncomfortable talking about sex has really shifted, certainly in this, generation. And who doesn't want to hear it is the kids. And I guess I can attest to that. It worked best with my guys if we were locked in a car somewhere and they couldn't escape. You know, I think it's just an uncomfortable conversation to have, but I think it's one of the most important we can have. And let's point out, it shouldn't be a conversation. You know, people think you sit down and you explain the birds and the bees and then you're done. I think what Planned Parenthood really believes is effective is to have an open dialogue about these things at all stages of a youngster's life, and making sure that they get the information that they need depending on their ages and what's appropriate. But certainly having these open conversations that include family values and really good scientific and fact-based information about sex and sexuality is one of the best things parents can do for their kids.
Well, you know, and a lot of kids, you know, mom and dad might go to have that conversation with them. We'll remind people that Planned Parenthood does an exceptional job with education in, especially at the high school level, in talking to kids about sex, sexually transmitted disease, contraception, you know, even reproductive rights and you know, certain medical conditions, especially that relate to women's reproductive health, you know, testicular cancer and other things. So a lot of kids might come home and mom and dad sit down and have that conversation with them, and they go, oh, yeah, Planned Parenthood was in. We're good.
It's true. We're very, very proud of the programming we do. We have some grants that actually help us do this. In high schools, we offer a very evidence-based curricula called Be Proud, Be Responsible as part of an initiative with the Michigan Department of Community Health for youth ages 13 to 19. And, you know, last year our educators spoke to more than 19,000 youth and young adults, parents and teachers, because we also know that sometimes parents do feel uncomfortable with the beginning of the conversation, sort of knowing what to say when and those kinds of things. So we offer training and education programs for parents as well that are interested in being more effective on these things with their kids. And, you know, schools can do a great job, and I think it should be augmented, and those school-based programs ought to be, you know, evidence-based and make sure they're fact-based and scientifically accurate. But I think that we also have to remember that the place where kids get that information combined with the family values, et cetera, is at home. And it's incredibly important that we sit down with our kids on a regular basis and just take teachable moments, as we call them, and from the media and other places, and just talk about sex and sexuality and the kinds of decision makings that we know are going to be facing our young people. You know, the idea that we can stick our head in the sand and tell them just say no has been proven over and over again is completely ineffective.
Yeah, unfortunately, Lori Lammer, and that's true. You know, I'm going to throw out a couple figures, and, you know, one of them is that both mothers and fathers, 93% of mothers and 85% of fathers said they talk to their teens or with their teens about sex. Now, sex has always been, it has been my experience that if you have the conversation fairly casually and you don't make a big deal out of it, and I mean, I still talk to my children about sex, and they're not children anymore. It's
right.
I just, you know, need to sometimes remind them. I'll tell, and I'm not going to point out which one or ones, but I'll remind them, you know, you need to use contraception. Don't forget to take condoms if I think that they're going somewhere where, you know, that might be something that is part of their evening. And I don't like to think about my children having sex, but I also don't like to think about them not realizing how much I care about the decisions they make.
Well, and you make a really good point, Tony. While so many of us really believe, you know, way, the majority really believe that it's important to have these discussions, only 29% of parents actually include discussions about specifics of birth control, and less than 31% actually are talking about sexual orientation and the struggles that gay, transsexual, bisexual, lesbian teens really face in terms of their sexual orientation. So I think that throws down the gauntlet for parents to do what we're already doing really well in sort of, you know, general terms, but also really remember that specifics about birth control, having the guts to really say to your son, as I did to mine when they were going off to college or living on their own, here are condoms, not only saying, gee, it's a good idea, but packing them. And you know, I had friends that said, really, I think that would be good, but on the other hand, I don't want to encourage it. And I think, you know, if they're going to have sex, they're going to have sex, and better that they be protected and have good information upon which to make decisions.
Yes,
and these are adult decisions we have to prep them for.
Yeah, this idea of encouraging them, it's not like you're buying your children prostitutes. You know, this idea that you give them condoms somehow makes, you know, is planting some seed that had never been planted before. God, please. You know,
right.
our kids are, and what they're going to do is they're going to walk away. They're actually going to go to their friends and they're going to say, do you know what my mom did? My mom gave me condoms today.
Well, and I think if my kids are any indication, they're giving them out. You know, they're passing them on to friends, which I think is terrific. You know, that's exactly what needs to happen. And the survey that just came out also showed that 81% of the time parents actually know that their kids are sexually active. And I think it's not uncommon among my friends. Tony, I bet you've experienced it too, where if you press, they do know their kids are sexually active.
Absolutely.
But they like the thought.
Absolutely.
That they're not.
Yeah, Lori, we need to take a quick break. Stay with us, if you would, please. Much more to talk to. Let's talk, folks. We're just talking. That's all right. It's good to do that. 888-552-3595 if you've got a question or comment regarding this particular topic. But we will take the break and return with Lori Lammerand right after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together, until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Powerful, pure energy. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, CVS, and your local retailer.
I'm all for Proposal 2 because I feel like collective bargaining is very important to the freedoms of the people of Michigan. I've been in the union now 35 years, and it's helped protect our jobs. With Proposition 2, it helps maintain that, and the more union members there are in other companies, the better the contracts are going to be. I am all for Proposal 2. My name is James R. Message. I work at Kroger's in Warren, and I am the United Food and Commercial Workers.
Union members across Michigan know what it will take to protect working families. Vote yes on Proposal 2.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
And welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. Lori Lamram, the president of Planned Parenthood Midden South Michigan, is our guest today. We're talking about our children, or to our children, about sex and the importance of doing that. You know, and, you know, the question that I have, it's a simple question, but if we don't, then who does? And that, you know, that can kind of be disturbing. Although I will tell you that when I talk to all three of my children, I was shocked by how much they already knew. And, in fact, it made the conversation easier, but I was stunned by how much they already knew, to be honest with you.
Well, I think the notion that if we don't tell kids these things in school or at home, that they won't know it and that we can protect them from this information and leave them innocent, if you will. I hear that from parents. And the fact of the matter is that our kids just have to be watching television these days. There's lots of stuff in the media. And what we also know is that a significant proportion of the time where kids get most of their information about sex and sexuality is from other kids in the schoolyard. And I don't know about you, but I don't think fifth grade boys are really good, accurate givers of good information.
You know,
so
that's interesting, Lori.
Replace it.
Yeah, let me interrupt you for just a moment. I did get an email from somebody asking the question. This woman says, I have five children, all under the age of 10. At what age do you have this conversation with them? And I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, I think it goes back to what I said earlier. Tony, it's not a conversation. I think we just need to be aware that this has to happen and look for opportunities all the time. So, you know, you can start with children who are learning to talk, just naming body parts and helping them understand, you know, the private body parts and not, you know, not allowing others to touch them. And I think people don't consider that sexuality education, but in fact it is. And as kids get older and family members or friends or in the family themselves are having babies, you talk about how those babies got into mommy's tummy and how it's going to get out and why it's important. And if it's not this big, you know, those kinds of conversations for us as adults are very loaded because we link them to sex. But children are just curious. There's no loaded sexuality innuendo that's part of those kinds of questions. And I think you just take the opportunity anytime you can, when you see something on television, when you hear a comment by somebody. It's like many other things in our kids' life. We don't sit down and say, we're going to have the conversation about plants and now we're going to have the conversation about nutrition. We just weave it in. And I think that's the thing that that we've learned is completely effective, so that parents really can be among the primary sources of good information.
You know, you remind me, and this was such a funny story. When I was, 13, 14 years old, I would babysit occasionally for a couple extra bucks, and there were these folks that just lived a couple doors down from the house, and usually one of my sisters did, but if they weren't available, then I would, you know, they paid well, and I didn't mind doing it. It was one of those situations where the kid was up for an hour, and then I would have 6-7 hours to watch TV. It was no big deal. I remember them telling me, you know, where his name was Todd, the little boy's name was Todd, and they said, we're teaching Todd about body parts, and he seems to be quite obsessed with the word penis, so if he starts talking about his penis, don't be shocked. Don't be surprised, because, and I was so glad they said something, because sure enough, you know, we're sitting there, we were playing some game, and he picks up the teddy bear and he goes, this is, if he had a penis, this is where it would go. And I went, okay, thank you for telling me this. Can you imagine had they not told me that? That would have freaked me out.
Well, you know, in my own family, I was very committed, no big surprise. I was a Planned Parenthood educator when my sons were young, and I was very committed to ensuring that my children knew the correct body part terms, et cetera, et cetera. But when one day my 4-year-old or 3-year-old at the time asked my mother-in-law if she had a penis or a vulva, there was a moment there where their father gasped somewhat and thought, oh my God, are we really going here? But I think we need to just get comfortable with these kinds of things, that, you know, our body, those body parts shouldn't be any different than elbow and, you know, wrist and foot and ear and all of those things. And that was really my commitment to my kids and making a distinction between women have vulvas and men have penises. But, you know, our society, I think, is coming way along in terms of being prepared for those conversations. But it's incredibly important that we don't give kids this idea that they need to be ashamed, or that those are informational pieces that they oughtn't have access to.
No question. You know, we've talked, a bit about how we talk to kids. How do we talk to adults about talking to their kids?
Well, I think we talk about making sure, first of all, that you have the correct information. You know, Tony, I don't know about you. I'm a woman of a certain age, and my parents certainly did not sit down with me and have a factual discussion. That's no slam against my mom and dad. I think they did their best, and it just wasn't what we did. So I think oftentimes what we hear from parents is, I'm happy to have this conversation, but I'm afraid I don't know everything. So we help people get good information themselves and then be prepared with some standard answers. You know, if your son or daughter asks you a question at an age that you didn't expect, you know, it's perfectly fine to say, you know, I didn't expect you to ask me that question. Can I think about an answer and get back to you? You know, you don't have to do it in the moment. It's not like you're never going to see or have this opportunity again with your son or daughter to continue this conversation. So that's what we really do, is help with some techniques about how you do this. I laughed earlier about doing it in the car, but that's really a good place and the ability to do it. And even though surveys show that kids don't want us to talk to them about sex, the truth is, and my kids would attest to this now, they do listen if you do. They're darn glad to hear it, because they are curious. They certainly don't want to ask you, but they're curious. And if you just talk at them, they suck it all in, and it'll come back later. And I think that's really the important thing. Don't expect them to engage in some robust conversation. Just be content to talk at them and give them information that you can be pretty sure they don't already
have. Yeah, and Lori, we literally have about a minute left, and I want to make sure that we also point out that don't think that your kids are ever too old, or if it's ever inappropriate to have that discussion. You know, if they're 16, 17, 18, 25, you can still talk to them about sex.
Oh, absolutely. And relationships, and how relationships happen, and how sexuality is a part of a healthy relationship, et cetera, et cetera. That certainly doesn't stop when they graduate high school.
No, if it only did. Actually, no, I'm glad it doesn't, because it's, it's an entree into lots of other conversations. I have found, and I think this is true for some of my friends when we've had this discussion, and yes, kids, your parents talk to other parents about talking to you about sex, so get over it. Oh, and by the way, your parents are probably still having sex, so get over that, too.
Oh, millions of teenagers going, ah!
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, as my son sits in the control room next to me. But I just want to point out to people that oftentimes when that conversation gets more and more comfortable, it actually makes it easier for all of us to talk about all kinds of things, not just sex and relationships. Lori, we're out of time. Thank you so much. That went by really fast.
Yeah, it did. Always does, Tony. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
You bet. We'll talk to you again next week, and we'll again mention the fundraiser a bit on the other side. We've got to take a break for the top of the hour. We'll be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking that rush hour traffic, 75 southbound just before Baldwin. Accident has your left two lanes blocked with stop and go traffic from Ortonville. Another accident has your left lane blocked on 94 westbound at 8 Mile with stop and go traffic from 696. Heavy traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and State Street. Also more heavy traffic on US 23 southbound between Silver Lake Road and 6 Mile. And we got another reported accident on 96 eastbound at Inkster Road with slow traffic from Newburgh. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be partly cloudy and 73. Tonight, a low of 59 with scattered showers. Tomorrow, 60 with early morning rain, and it's currently 56 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310.